thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. This episode is presented by preaching minister Josh Yeager. Let's tune in now for Josh's message.
Good morning. Well, I'll tell you what. I guess in the past, this church has done a charge to the elders. And as I thought about what to bring to you this morning, I talked to Larry, got some of his notes, and as I thought about the charge that I would give not only to the elders but also to the congregation, I just started kind of being overwhelmed by the idea of me giving a charge to men who are so much older than me and so much more wise and have a lot more experience walking the Christian walk. Most of them, they've been walking with Christ as long as I've been alive. And so to give them a charge is kind of a humbling situation to be in. But thankfully, I have thousands of years of scripture that I can read and study. And the Creator inspired it. And so therefore, I have some of the best words to rip off of anybody. And so I feel like I can say something because of the incredible work that we have in front of us that's our Bible. One of my favorite stories in leadership is in 2 Samuel chapter 23. The writer of 1 and 2 Samuel is basically telling us the story of the nation of Israel going from judges to kings. Okay, there's a long, arduous process that takes them from, you know, this kind of focused on God kingdom that is ruled by judges who are just kind of representatives to being an actual kingship. It wasn't actually God's plan, but that's the way it turned out. But the books of 1 and 2 Samuel end with David's reign. David is the second king of Israel. And in chapter 23... you have the writer of 2 Samuel just kind of summing up David's reign, telling some kind of cool stories and some things that happened, some highlights from David's reign. And one of those highlights is some stories of David's three mighty warriors. I love this, the few verses that I'm about to read to you, but I love this idea of these three mighty warriors. I've actually written like little backstories just... they're on my computer. Maybe I'll share them with you sometime as to what these guys would have been like. Just the few verses that we have about them. But I want to read to you a story about these three mighty warriors because I think it really epitomizes leadership. 2 Samuel chapter 23, starting in verse 13. These will not be on the screen. So if you want to follow along, you're going to have to open your Bible or get out your mobile device or something like that. 2 Samuel chapter 23, starting in verse 13. During harvest time, three of the 30 chief warriors came down to David at the cave of Adullam, while a band of Philistines was encamped in the valley of Rephaim. At that time, David was in the stronghold, and the Philistine garrison was at Bethlehem. David longed for water and said, "Oh, that someone would get me a drink of water from the well near the gate of Bethlehem." So the three mighty warriors broke through the Philistine lines, drew water from the well near the gate of Bethlehem, and carried it back to David. This is a great picture of leadership. It's a great picture of leadership because you have a man who, even though times are hard, inspires those who are under him to act. He doesn't command his mighty warriors to go and get him a drink of water. And in all actuality, there would be no benefit for David to have a drink of water from the well at the gate of Bethlehem. There's just no benefit from it. But he's frustrated and he's in a difficult time. And obviously he's oppressed and the Philistines are against the Israelites. And they're struggling. And he just wants something familiar. He wants something to kind of rest his head on. He wants something familiar. If you've ever left your pillow at home when you've gone on a trip and you're surrounded by all these uncomfortable things. You know, you're laying on this pillow that's a rock, or it's too soft, or something. It's just not your pillow. You just desire something to be familiar. You want your pillow back. And this is kind of the idea. This is what David's going through. He's just like, I just want to drink from the well of Bethlehem, my hometown where I grew up. I just want to drink from that well. And these three mighty warriors were inspired by their leader, not because he commanded them, but because they loved him and they respected him and they cared for him. And they did something, they acted on something that was, I mean, it wasn't a safe act. They put their lives in danger simply because David wanted something familiar. They were courageous and they were dangerous. But that's not the best part of the story. Keep reading, verse 16. But David refused to drink it. Instead, he poured it out before the Lord. Far be it from me, Lord, to do this. Is it not the blood of men who went at the risk of their lives? And David would not drink it. So you see that here we see David, he's a man after God's own heart. He's one of the most revered kings of Israel. And at that time, he is king. He is in control. But he does not see himself worthy of such devotion. And he instead points to God. And he pours it out before God. And what I noticed in some of our elders' questionnaires as I read them and as I talked to them, I spent time in prayer and talking with each one of these guys. What I heard from them and what I heard hinted from them was the fact that many of them were unsure as to whether they should be an elder or not. And not so much because they had some huge sin in their life, but because they knew who they were. They know who they are. Just as I know who I am, and just as you know who you are, we know that we are not people who are consistent or perfect or do everything correctly. But when we are aware of that, just as our elders are, that's somebody worth following. Because that is somebody who constantly points to God and not to themselves. I can't see hearts like God sees hearts. I don't think you can either. You know, we can do as much research into somebody's life as possible, and you may never get a perfect picture of them. But from what I see in these elders, I'm encouraged and I'm uplifted, and I'm excited about what the future holds. And so I'd like to charge these men with charges that I see in Scripture, not charges that come from Josh, but charges that I believe come from God through the ages to those who would lead his people. And the first one is this: be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 6, as the Israelites were poised to enter the promised land, and as the leadership of the people of Israel had shifted from Moses over to Joshua, God spoke these words to Joshua, and he said, "Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them." Why did they have to be strong and courageous? Because they were about to go into a situation that they had no power over. There was no strength of men that could take the promised land from the people that inhabited it. There was no strength of might that these Israelites had that could, as a nation of slaves, to go in and conquer established nations. There was no way they could do that. They had to go in completely trusting God. And here's the reality that our elders find themselves in. They are leading us into a situation where we must rely upon the power of God and not on our own power. And let me tell you something, that is scary. I mean, it's nerve-wracking, actually. Because I like to go into situations where I have all the power and where I have everything figured out. I like to come to situations with a plan. I'm a planner. Any planners in here this morning? I'm a planner. I like to know exactly how it's all going to work out. But we're going into a situation where we don't have all the answers. And we don't have all the strength. And the strength comes from God. And so he tells Joshua, be strong and courageous. And I believe that God would tell our elders the same thing. Be strong and courageous, because we're going in to take a promised land that is taken without our own power and without all the answers. So be strong and courageous. The early church faced this. In the book of Acts, when the persecution had just started with the Christians, the first Christians, the Christians kind of got together in Acts chapter 4, and they just prayed to God. And we see part of their prayer in Acts chapter 4, verse 29. They said, now, Lord, consider their threats. Consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Be strong and courageous. And number two, be shepherds of the blood-bought church. Be shepherds of the blood-bought church. In Acts chapter 20, Paul had gone on several missionary journeys, and he had established churches in different cities in Asia Minor, and he had spent time teaching and preaching and appointing elders. And we read of a time in Acts chapter 20 when he was about to leave one of those churches that he had established and that he had established elders in. And he left them, and he especially met with all the elders, and he left them with some instructions. And this is what he said. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. When we are to keep watch, when we are to be shepherds, the cost of the thing that we are shepherding, that we are overseeing, that we are looking out for, impacts what we do. And the reality is that the church costs more than anything else on this earth. It is the most precious commodity, if you can even call it that, in the history of the world. And to realize that you are shepherds of the blood-bought church is a heavy responsibility and cannot be taken lightly. Peter also leaves some instructions to the churches that he wrote to. He says this in 1 Peter chapter 5. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you're willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples of the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. So how do we shepherd? How do you shepherd? And as I read the tapestry of God's word, as I read the story of God's people, there's one passage that really sticks out to me. And that's Ezekiel chapter 34. Because Ezekiel is speaking to Israel in exile and in the midst of punishment. And Ezekiel speaks in Ezekiel chapter 34 specifically to the elders or the shepherds of God's people. But he doesn't praise them. he actually chastises them, and he speaks negatively of what they did. And what I want to do is I want to actually flip Ezekiel's chastisement to instead one of a charge, and one that will give you something to do rather than something not to do. And so based on Ezekiel 34, verses 15 and 16, I want to charge you with this. Care for the flock. Strengthen the weak. Heal the sick. Bind the injured. Bring back the strays. Search for the lost. Lead with grace. Discipline with compassion. And that's it. Be strong and courageous, and be shepherds of the blood-bought church. And now to those of us who would follow, I want to answer with one scripture, Hebrews 13, 17. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. There may be men up here this morning, in just a few moments, as we pray over them. There may be men up here that you did not affirm. There may be men up here that maybe even you do not respect. But as we look at Hebrews 13, 17, and as we look at what the church is to be, we must submit. Because that is the epitome of what it means to love one another. Jesus said, you know, I give you a new command. Love one another, but don't just love yourself as you love yourself. Love each other, love other Christians as Christ loved you. And the epitome of that love is our ability to submit to those who God has placed over us. But here's the catch. And this is what I love about the church. Our elders' authority does not come from their power. Our elders' authority comes from their willingness to serve. Jesus said, if you want to be great in the kingdom of heaven, you'll be a servant or a slave to all. And what I know about these guys, even knowing them only for a year or less than a year, is that each one of them is a servant. And whether you agree with their confirmation or not, I would encourage you to submit and to love and to understand that these men love you. They love the church. That is why they have chosen to do what they're doing today. And it's hard. And it's a big responsibility. And as we come under their leadership, I just want to encourage us as a church to submit, to love them. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this exciting time at 10th and Broad. We thank you for leading these men to where they are today. And God, I just want to pray for each one of them. Pray that you'd give them strength. And Lord, I pray that you would help them to understand your plan for shepherding a flock. And God, at the same time, I pray that you would guide each one of us as we seek to submit to their authority, as we seek to submit to who you have placed as our leaders. Give us strength. Bring us together as a church. Make us love one another. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.